Welcome to the Not Old, Better podcast, a podcast dedicated to your future. The Not Old, Better podcast is all about revealing your future, offering clarity, health, happiness, and all things senior geek chic. And now your host, Paul Vogelzang.
Well, hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm Paul Vogelzang, the host of the Not Old, Better show. I want to welcome you, as well as welcome Heather Green to our studio. I say our because I'm not only joined this morning by Heather, but by Gretchen, my lovely wife and longtime podcaster and contributor and spouse and just my ever support. But today's show is a great one for a lot of reasons. We have, as I say, here in the studio, Heather Green. Heather is a longtime friend and a writer, an author, well-known for her work at Business Week, and that's really where our kind of friendship began with me and Gretchen and Heather. And Heather's written a new book, the name of which is To Catch a Cat, which we're going to talk a lot about today because it just has some real nice meaning for our audience. And Heather, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's just so great to be here.
Well, Heather, you know, I can't help but, you know, and especially with Gretchen here, I can't help but just talk for a second about your history in the tech community, your magazine writing. It'll parallel nicely with the book, but we go back a long time, and you were covering some of these podcasts way, way, way back when.
Oh, yeah. No, right when they were coming up, I was fascinated by them. And so I started reaching out to folks, you guys, and all kinds of different podcasters, and just really wanted to figure out what the heck was going on with it. And look what's happened. It's just exploded. It's really amazing.
It's interesting to cross paths again, you know, and our point here of intersection is the podcast and now this great book that you've written. You know, I have to say, when you and I first kind of started talking a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, and I looked at the book cover, I thought to myself, okay, I know Heather, and I'm sure the book's going to be great, but I guess I'm not really a cat lover, Heather, so the book isn't necessarily written for cat lovers, though, right?
Well, no, it's sort of funny. The cover is a bit of a ruse. There's a kitten on the front looking up at you. But my story is really about this journey that finding cats put me on and how I had been working, you know, I'd gotten into this rut where my life was my work and my work was my life. And what happened with these kittens is I got pulled out of that sort of not entirely happily because I didn't really want to rescue some cats in the backyard of my then boyfriend, now husband's house, but it made me sort of stop and think about some of the things that I wanted out of life, and I realized that, you know, 60, 70 hour work weeks and not being part of a community wasn't really what I wanted, and so that's what really happened with this book.
So let's go back just a little bit, and we touched on this during the introduction. So this was kind of almost at the height of some of this, you know, I don't know, second, third, fourth tech bubble that we were all in all the time. But you were at Business Week, and you have a degree from University of Virginia, and then you have a master's degree in political science from, what is the name of the institution?
It's the Institut d'Études Politiques. It's called Sciences Po, and I was in Paris for about 4 years, and so I got a graduate's degree there.
And some of that influence, did that come as a result of your growing up in Northern Virginia, kind of this interest in politics and community and...
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Loudoun County, which is about an hour outside of Washington, D.C., and only 30 minutes away from you guys. And my father was in the military. He was an Air Force pilot. And so we moved when I was growing up every 2 years, like clockwork. And my joke is we always would go someplace that was hot and flat because that's what you needed for jets. And I just got used to, at that early age, moving and changing and making new friends and jettisoning old friends. And so that sort of became sort of like the undertone penning of the way I approach life. And so there's a great side of it, which is that you move a lot, you meet new friends, I'm very comfortable with change and with going into new situations. But I also, the flip side is that if you ever get bored with where you are, if you have that, you know, experience in the back of your, in your background, then you can just get up and change and move. And this can be a problem because it ends up sort of leaving you sort of deracinated, you know, you don't have roots. And so I went to UVA for 2 years. I went to Paris for 4 years. I came back to the United States, and I was just sort of bopping around all over the place. And so ironically, in 2006, when I found these cats, I'd, you know, made this decision like maybe 3 or 4 years earlier that, okay, I'm going to stop and plant down roots in Manhattan, which to some people might seem crazy, but, and so that's what's going to be my life. And then I met my boyfriend, and I hadn't quite committed to him. We've been together for about 18 months. And then I found these cats. And so it was just sort of this coalescing of a lot of different decisions I hadn't quite understood that I was making that made me realize that, okay, the next step is going to be, you know, committing to this community that was in New Jersey outside of New York, and committing to this man, and committing to, you know, taking care of the responsibility of taking care of another being, these kittens, that I hadn't thought up until then that I really had the capability of doing.
And this really was a community. It was an established community of people who were supporting these cats, feeding them, taking care of them. In the book, you talk about taking the cats to the vet. So it really became this kind of commitment that almost eclipsed some of the devotion and energy that you were, you know, kind of putting on your job. And so you decided that this change was important in your life. What was it about the change that you felt like you needed?
You know, it was interesting because there were two things that were going on. I was, it was 2006. So, you know, like you said, it was like the third boom at this point. It was like social media was coming up, Facebook, Wi-Fi, like wireless everywhere. The mobile was starting finally to hit. Everybody always talked about, you know, mobile phones being something that were going to change our lives. And that was just starting. And so there was that. And I was so, you know, I was entranced with all that and entranced with like the what it gave me and sense of what I was interested in. But then when I found the kittens, I did find this community, and it's really the amazing, it's the most amazing thing. It's sort of like bowling to me. You kind of find your bowling league,
it's
you
like
know.
Bowling. Okay.
You're like, you've got your friends who are in this community, and you all know each other, and you're talking about your jobs, you're talking about your families, you're talking about, you know, how much, you know, cat food you bought that weekend. And it was all of a sudden you find yourself like, you got an anchor, and it was really remarkable, like how that anchor sort of makes you stop and reassess, you know, are all these things that I'm doing right now in my life, are these the things that I wanted to do? And I think that was sort of like the point of the book is, and I think we all sort of go through that where we sort of get into these routines and we're not sure, is this what I want out of life, you know, and is what am I doing right now? Is this what I had thought I would do? And so that's sort of what my bowling league / cat community taught me.
Well, so I mentioned at the top of the show that this is not your typical cat story or cat book. And I think there's a lot of things that you went through. I mean, you even talked very candidly and openly about this struggle with, you know, kind of trying to medicate, you know, and calm yourself, and there was some drinking, and so that, you know, I just want my listeners to understand that this is a really deep story about redemption. It's not just this lighthearted little, you know, kind of frivolous, you know, memoir. This is a lot of pages of this time in your life, and so you were really making some decisions about how you wanted to kind of go forward. In your mind, were you thinking about even having a family and children? And did you think at the time, gosh, I, I don't want to, you know, I don't necessarily want to drink and have a child, or and what were you kind of talking to Matt about? Because I got the impression that Matt maybe wasn't aware of some of the drinking all the time, and so there were a lot of things kind of going on. And this is maybe a hard part of the story to kind of go back and talk about, but I thought it was an important part in this idea of redemption and change.
Well, Paul, like, I think because you and I are good friends, mm-hmm. or friends, you are the first person who's actually like approached it this way. I think I've had some different interviews where people glide over it, but it is a huge part of what was going on in this book. Is that I think we all have hard times in our lives, and we figure out ways of dealing with it, and or not. And my way of dealing with this reality that I was sort of pulling myself outside of my routine and didn't know what I was really going to do with myself. I was alone with these cats, and it sounds kind of crazy, but I was, you know, where I was, and was in Union City, New Jersey, and it's a very working class. There's not like a lot of entertainment out there, and so it was me alone for the first time in a long time, and I didn't handle it well. I was drinking, and I was hiding it, and so, but then, little by little, as I realized that I didn't need to do this, and this was in a very short period, maybe 3 weeks, but what it had done was, it was something that I had done, like maybe like 5 years earlier, I'd gotten into this kind of rut, and I'd helped myself get out of it through analysis, frankly. And that's what had sort of set me on the road to deciding that I was going to set down roots in New York. But then when I was in a new situation that I didn't know how to handle, I fell back into this old routine. And then, because of the cats and because of Matt, I pulled myself out of it. And that, like you said, that was sort of redemption. And it was something that I felt like I needed to write about, because it was really part of the whole story.
And it's a beautiful story. And I only bring it up because I certainly have had my stumbles, and I think everybody does. You don't go through life without getting nicked. And so the powerful part of this story is that you came through, you found what you needed, you were able to, you know, kind of make this life with this community, and almost kind of become whole. And Gretchen, I want to just bring you into this a little bit.
Yeah,
too,
I've been wanting to jump in here for a little
while.
Well,
do, because I know you're chomping at the bit to kind of talk about, because you've had some loss in your life, and pets have been important to animals, I guess, have been important to you.
Well, animals have been important to me for my entire life. I grew up on a ranch. We were the dumping ground for strays. So we, at any given time, we'd have, you know, 3, 4, 5 dogs, you know, 10 cats. We had bunny rabbits and turtles and guinea pigs and all of that. So dogs, especially, have been very important to me my entire life. And but I think, you know, when you're talking about this analysis, you know, I think animals are probably the best form of you know, counseling you could have. I mean, to me anyway, they've always served that kind of job to me, as, if you will, you know, said there's something very kind of calming about petting a dog or petting a cat or feeding an animal or having to care something that's going to get you out of yourself, so that you aren't just kind of thinking about you the whole time. I think animals play a huge role, and I think you see that, you know, with these people who take animals to you know, retirement homes and hospitals, and, you know, because the animals do have that real therapeutic ability. So that's probably one of the things that, you know, you kind of gravitated to, even though you probably didn't realize what was going on initially. But I think that they play a really important role for people that way.
No, that's absolutely, absolutely right. And it's interesting you say that, because I didn't know at the time that that's what was going on. And when I went into this sort of dark spiral, I didn't realize that they were going to be I thought that they were the cause of it, but they actually pulled me out of it. And that's exactly right. And, you know, they're cute little kittens, you know, and they're staring at you and playing around. And after a while, you just sort of have to realize that, you know, there's other things to focus on. And it just moves you to think about other things, and it helped me a lot.
It's a lot less expensive.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
I have to say again, I loved this book, and I was really moved. We're with Heather Green. Heather is the author of a wonderful new book that's titled To Catch a Cat, How Three Stray Kittens Rescued Me. And I think, Heather, you know, on this kind of this theme of kind of therapy, I was touched in reading about this woman that you met at PetSmart. It was really kind of a off-chance meeting. This woman turned out to be quite connected in the kind of the animal rescue world, but she said something really interesting to you. She said, look, you know, she was almost very matter of fact about it. She said, look, you know, I probably can't help you, but I can listen. And so it really tied into this kind of this idea that this community was there for you.
Oh, absolutely. And she's still my friend today.
And really, who is she? Introduce her to our audience too.
Her name is Carol McNichol, and she is this amazing force in the local community where I was working at the time in Hudson County. And she's just like a whirlwind. I mean, I think this summer alone, she's caught and tamed like 200 kittens. And she can't stop herself. She bought a house so that she could have more cats in it. And she's not a hoarder. I mean, mm-hmm. she's a doer, and it's really incredible. Yeah.
The story's an interesting one as you describe it in the book. Maybe you could tell us a little bit, give us a little bit of detail, because I was really, it almost caught me off guard as I read about these kind of these metal cages. They look almost, it sounded like from the book, they were kind of almost like stainless steel, almost like it was a real, you know, end almost for these animals. Was that going through your head as you were seeing this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you mean like the cages that you would trap them with?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's pretty scary. And like when they go in, it makes this huge thunk and you're like, oh my gosh, what have I done? You know, and the first few times that you catch a cat, it's the scariest thing in the world. And you have to run over and like put a sheet over them so that they will hunker down and be quiet, because for some bizarre reason that calms them down. And so it's really pretty intimidating, but then I kind of got into it because I really like trapping cats, because I knew that once I caught them, they'd get fixed, and then they wouldn't have to worry about like fighting or having more babies. And so, yeah, it was it turns around.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, there's a spectrum here. There are people who tolerate animals. There are people who appreciate them. There are people who love them. There are people who would die for them. Trapping feral cats and taming them mm-hmm. is a really hard row to hoe. It really is. I mean, I think it's a lot different than going and getting a domestic cat. I mean, this takes a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to work so hard to get these cats to trust you. My mom has a cat who's not a feral cat, but is really still not very trusting. So getting a cat who's been born in the wild and has had little to no, you know, contact with people, and then, you know, trying to win their trust and get them to understand, you know, that you're not going to hurt them is huge. I mean, that's a hard, hard thing to do.
No, you have to really be committed to that. And thank goodness for baby food, because for some reason you have chicken baby food and they really like to eat it. And so it's all, they learn to trust you through food. They don't care about you initially. But the most amazing thing, frankly, is when a kitten that is wild will look you in the eye, because that's the last thing they ever want to do, is look a human in the eye. And once they do that, that's just this huge sign of trust. And also the first time you'll get them to pet, because they, you know, I mean, I've been bitten and scratched and all these things, but once you get a cat that will allow you to pet it and that will enjoy that, it's incredible, yeah.
And so now that you're not living in New Jersey anymore, are you still in your new location now? Are you still doing this?
Not now, because we're living in a place where we're renting, so we can't take in cats. But I think once we move to our new home, that's what we plan to do, yeah.
And you have a daughter.
We have a daughter, yeah.
Are you going to teach her how to do this too?
Oh my gosh, she's already started. She's a cat whisperer. She can get any kitten to trust her at any time. It's really remarkable. So she's, you know, grown up around them. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I think children have that special way. with animals. I think they really, I think it's built in.
Yeah.
I think it's something that they just have. That maybe as they get older, they kind of lose touch with that. But I've seen that more than once with, you know, children being able to just connect with those animals.
Yeah, it's been really remarkable because she's just so quiet with them, which you wouldn't have ever expected from somebody who was like 2 or 3 at the time. But yeah. She sort of instinctively, like you said, knew.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the cats specifically, because some of the cats, Una comes to mind, were a little standoffish, and that appealed to you a little bit. Because and then there's, you know, Two-Step, and I love these names, but all of them had their own kind of personalities that you became very acquainted with and cherished.
Yeah, so we had to spend 2 months with them once we caught them, the kittens, and so you get to know them very well. And so Number 3 was he was like the charmer and the curious one, and he was the first one to come around. And then Two-Spot was he was my darling, and he was just very sort of shivery, and he would he was always jumping up in the air, and once he jumped up in the air when he was on top of this some shelving, and he fell behind it, the shelving, and we couldn't find him. And then Zero was the most, he was sort of like a mama's baby, and he didn't want anything to do with us, but bit by bit he came around. But Una is she was the mother, and we have her now. She lives with us, and we finally tricked her into coming into the house one afternoon. We'd been feeding her for a while, and it had been really bad winters, and so I just couldn't take it anymore. And so when she came in the house, I shut the door behind her, and so she's been with us since then. So.
Well, Gretchen, you mentioned the kind of the various organizations, and how you referred to them. One that comes to mind, and one that you and I have talked a little bit about, is Jersey Cats. So talk a little bit about Jersey Cats and what they did in all of this. And then maybe touch on, you know, maybe give our listeners a couple of ideas that, you know, everybody can walk away with to learn about this process and what it takes and what you can do to kind of assist in this area, because it's important. These, you mentioned Carol and the 200 cats this summer. I think it was 135 cats between Feral and Friendlies that you and Matt were responsible for. So big numbers. We don't all have to do those big numbers, but... Oh, we can start someplace.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, there's different levels. You know, you can give to like local rescues, or you can adopt your own. You know, adopt rather than buying a cat or an animal. You can get involved. There's plenty of groups nowadays, and it's a lot more fun than when it was when I started. Because when I started, it was a lot of it wasn't very networked, and that's what's been amazing about online social networking. Now you have a lot of groups that get to know each other through that, and so you can learn tutorials about how to catch cats, how to bottle feed kittens, and so but just to get to your other point about Jersey Cats, they're an adoption group, and this was the hardest part that we had, was we could find cats. They were sort of like they knew we were all around us, and they would keep coming towards us. So we had no problem finding cats to trap and kittens to find, to tame. But our hard part was finding people and was figuring out how to get them adopted. And that can be really scary, because you'd have a kitten and you had no idea whether it was actually going to find a home or not. But we found these wonderful people, Jersey Cats, and they're a foster and adoption group. And they would, you know, kept saying yes every time we would say, we found some kittens. Then they would say, yes, we'll take them. And they're just remarkable. And so... they found most of the homes for most of the cats that we have trapped in the past 5 years.
It was interesting, too, to read in the book about kind of the, I would say, you know, just the deepening of your own relationship with Matt through this process. And you changed in a lot of ways. Would you say that even your personal relationships were strengthened through these relationships with some of the cats?
Oh, yeah. I am sort of like, we have to do things now. We have to get things done. And Matt...
Military.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You can relate, Gretchen.
And Matt is, he's sort of more like a thinker and a contemplator. And he has always like helped me figure out how to do stuff and did stuff and jumped over fences all the time. But he also
literally jumped over fences
right, to catch right. cats.
These
yes,
are metaphorical obstacles.
But he I also learned so much patience and so much about acceptance through our working together. And I would be pushing, and he would just say, well, let's just figure this out. And, you know, I've learned how to, like, we lived together, and then we got married, and then we've done so much together, and a lot of it was with the cats initially. And then we had a child who I'd never expected to have. And you know, that, and I know that was because of the cats. It taught me, like, I could be responsible for another being. And so our relationship has just been... I'm just so lucky. I mean, it's just deepened, and you know, you learn, you think you have an idea of the person you want in your life, and then you realize that you have somebody right in front of you who is the person you should have in your life and who you can grow with, and they can grow with you, and that's just an amazing thing.
Well, I think it's fortunate that he bought into the whole thing.
You're absolutely right.
there are right. probably some
you've done
people,
some convincing.
I know. Just speaking from personal experience, I mean, you know, he could have just said, "You're crazy,"
yeah,
right?
Could have, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But because I think, you know, ever since Paul and I have been together, I'm kind of an animal whisperer. They find me.
Mm-hmm.
They find
That's
me.
That's the story,
you know?
At least, Heather.
No, it's true. It's true. And I mean, we have plenty of stories where I like this one story where I was driving home from the studio, and this woman, I was stopped at a stop light, and this woman who was in the car behind us, she jumped out of her car and knocked on my window, and she said, "You have a cat underneath your car." And I'm like, "What?"
Oh my god.
So I very carefully, after the light turned green, you know, turned and then went into a parking lot and got out and looked underneath my car. I couldn't find the cat. I figured, well, she must have, you know, run away. Drove all the way home, got into the garage, closed the garage door, was going about my business, and went out into the garage, and there was this cat who had ridden home, you know, I don't know, 5-6 miles in the wheel well of my car.
Oh my gosh.
You know, but things like that happen to me all the time, and Paul's like...
Impossible.
He doesn't believe it, but they do. I mean, they just, you know, one day I was living in an apartment complex, and I mean, I lived upstairs, you know, in the back of the complex. There were probably, you know, 150 units, and I opened my door and a dog was sitting on my doorstep. I mean, it just found me. So, I mean, I think there's some kind of universal karma thing going on, but anyway, I think he could have said, "You're absolutely crazy," and said, "I'm not having any part of this," but he bought into it.
Oh,
was good.
No, it was amazing. I mean, he really knew it was important to me. He did not believe that we should do it. He wasn't, you know, like, he was like, "The cats are outside. Shouldn't they be outside?" And, you know, we didn't know. Mm-hmm. So maybe they would be better off than in our hands, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, he did. He just sort of like went along and waited to see how it would go and supported me. But he, you know, it wasn't his thing. He didn't initially, I mean, eventually it was, just by force of, like, the, you know, flood of kittens.
At what point, how many cats have you had? What's your top number?
Our highest number is 11, and, I remember, like, putting this group of cats in the kittens in the bathroom, because that's what you do, you close them up so that they won't go crazy running around your house, and I turn around, and there's these, like, 4 cats coming up the, you know, up the hallway, and I know there's 2 other cats in another room and some other kittens in another room, and I'm doing the total in my head, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I think I'm a crazy cat lady."
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, again, Gretchen and I are joined today with Heather Green. Heather is the author of To Catch a Cat, How 3 Stray Kittens Rescued Me. And it really is this wonderful book. I just enjoyed it so much. And Gretchen and I have talked about it. We've reminisced about our own kind of life. I think that for my audience, we'll put up links. You'll see the book jacket on the website. We'll put up a link of how you can reach out to Heather and learn more. We'll put up a link to Jersey Cats, too. But Heather, maybe you could tell us your happiest story from kind of this whole experience?
Well, my happiest story is, it started off weird. It was this woman shows up at my house at 9 o'clock at night, and she's got a 1.5 week old kitten, and she sort of just hands it to me because the mother had left it the day before, and I didn't want it either because these things, you have to, a kitten that young, you have to bottle feed it every 2 or 3 hours for 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And so I was in, you know, with this kitten for that long, and he turned out to be the sweetest thing in the world. Well, he was a crazy cat, but he was adorable. His name is Cottonball, and so that was my best experience. Yeah.
That's great. Well, it is a wonderful book. Heather, thanks for being here today. We certainly appreciate it. What have I left out? What would you like to add, finally?
No, Paul, you covered it all.
Gretchen, what have I left out?
I think we need, I always have another thought, but I think we need to also realize that there's a real kind of community health issue here, and a cat health issue. I mean, being able to catch these feral cats, spay them, neuter them, make sure that they have the vaccinations that they need, is only going to help the general population of cats, even the domestic ones. I know I volunteered in an overnight vet clinic, and it was very eye-opening because every single cat that was captured by animal control came into the vet clinic, and the first thing that we did is test them for feline leukemia. And if they tested positive, they were immediately put down. And it was heartbreaking to see the number of cats that we were putting to sleep because of this virus. And this virus can be carried by domestic as well as feral cats. And so I think it's a huge benefit to everybody that these feral cats are dealt with appropriately and find, you know, good homes and are vaccinated and all of that too. So.
Well, I mean, you see the numbers. It's like 40. The ASPCA says that 41% of the cats that get surrendered to shelters are killed. And so, any time that you can have a dent on the cat population through having them fixed and neutered outdoors as well as indoors is already showing to have a huge impact on some of the shelters that have done this. And so, you know, to your point, if there's so much now that there wasn't even 10 years ago in terms of like low spay, low cost spay neuter, free spay neuter, great rescue groups that can help anyone who might find cats like that. It's just much more connected than it ever was before. And so there's a lot more, I think, that people can do. And you're absolutely right. You know, vaccinating them and fixing them makes the world of difference for, you know, the adoptable cats, because then there's not any more kittens flooding these shelters. And so they have a better chance of survival.
What a wonderful story. Thanks for sharing this with us, Heather. Again, Heather Green, author of To Catch a Cat, How Three Stray Kittens Rescued Me. It is a great book. It isn't just a cat book. It is a love story. It's a story of redemption. I've said that a couple of times. It can't be said enough. And Heather, we appreciate you being here. Gretchen, thank you for joining me. And thanks to all. Enjoy this book. Again, To Catch a Cat by Heather Green.
Navigating you to a future of clarity, health, happiness, and senior geek chic. The Not Old, Better Podcast. Not Old, Better.